But today is the Lord's Day. What better thing can we do than spending time in the Bible? We're not wasting time. We're not idly doing things, but when we're studying the Bible, we know that it's God who's speaking to us. So think about it. God, who spoke and created the universe, have given us this book, the Bible. It's beyond human comprehension. He would do this for any one of us to give us such an awesome book, the Bible. But with that said, I wanted to speak a little bit about God's Word, the Bible, and how wonderful, wonderful the Bible is. We can't begin to thank God enough for such a wonderful, wonderful book. You know, mankind over the centuries have written volumes and volumes and millions of books and topics on everything you could think about. You go in the local bookstore, the local library, you see topics and self-help books and books about health and books about everything imaginable. But not one of them can compare to God's Word, the Bible. It doesn't hold a candle to the Bible, because it is Almighty God who's speaking to us. Can't say that enough. The God who spoke and created this wonderful universe. He's everlasting to everlasting. He's infinite in His wisdom, and He knows what's best for all of us. We don't know what's best for us. God does. And He goes into all these different issues of life, and He writes about how wonderful the salvation plan is, and He just goes on and on and on, and you could spend 100 lifetimes just reading the Bible, and we could never come to the end of the riches and the wonder and beauty of the Word of God. And God's people, God's elect, a true believer, cannot get enough of it. He could read the Bible, and there's a hunger for truth. And God has placed it there in that person's heart. And we could continue to study the Bible in awe of the love and the mercy and the patience of God with us. It's only a pity that man, the world, doesn't have no interest in such a wonderful book. They have no interest, no concern. They'd rather spend their time reading a novel or reading a book that makes no sense. No sense. He will study and read. Here's this one book that God has given to us. Man in his rebellion wants nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing whatsoever. He sees sin is around him. This world is getting worse, but he's not looking at the Bible where he should be looking. He's looking within himself. And if you look at Proverbs 28, verse 26, you know, we're not going to find the answers within ourselves or within someone else. Because God clearly tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 26, He says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." That's where mankind is looking at, in his own heart, in his own wisdom, for answers, and he will never find it. Because he's trusting in his own self. And God clearly warns us further in Proverbs 3, "Trust in Jehovah with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." He tells us not to trust what's coming out of our own head, of our own minds, our own heart, but trust only in the Word of God. And God's, a true believer, because of God's mercy, will trust the Bible. There is no book that he would rather spend time, no matter where we're reading in the Bible, whether we understand it or not, the true believer trusts the Bible because he knows, because God has given him a new heart that will desire truth. He will study the Bible and take heed to the Word of God, no question. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 21, God tells us that God is the one who wrote the Bible. It didn't come from a mind of a man or men of old out of their own understanding. No, the Bible came from the infinite mind of Almighty God. That's where it came from. You ask people, it's been my experience that when you ask a lot of people, who wrote the Bible? Some people might say, oh, well, this part of the Bible was written by man, and this part was written by God. And he chops the Bibles up in these different sections, but really he doesn't trust the Bible. He doesn't. But here in verse 16 of 2 Peter chapter 1, we read, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first," a true believer knows that, God's people, "knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Bible wasn't written by man's will. It is God who moved in men of old to write the Bible. It didn't come from Abraham's mind or David's mind or Paul's or their own mind. God used them to pen what God wanted them to write. So the Bible came from the Word of God. But if you would read this verse 21, I was looking at it in the interlinear. It reads this way. Verse 21 of 2 Peter chapter 1. He reads this way in the interlinear. He says, "For prophecy was not at any time born by the will of man." He wasn't born by the will of man, he says, "but having been born along by the Holy Spirit, men wrote, and men of God spoke." So it had nothing to do with what Paul thought or what any one of the Old Testament prophets thought in their own mind. They were born along by the Holy Spirit. All they had was the pen in hand, and God was just moving them to write exactly in the original Greek and Hebrew. They were penning exactly what God wanted them to write. There was no error in the original Greek and the Hebrew, none whatsoever. God penned exactly what he wanted them to write. It's not that they were thinking before they write. It has nothing to do with that. They were born along by the Holy Spirit. God had them to write exactly what he wanted them to write. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1. Many might say, "Oh, these are the words of Jeremiah." No, it was the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1, we read, "The word that came to Jeremiah from where? From Jehovah." It's not from Jeremiah. It's from Jehovah, saying, "Thus speaketh Jehovah God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." It's not from Jeremiah's mind, as some might think. No, it's from God. It's from God himself. You see the same idea there if you go over to Jeremiah 36. You're going to see the same idea that the Bible came from God. In Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying, Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day." And God goes on. And verse 4, "Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of Jehovah, which he has spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And verse 6, therefore thou go and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of Jehovah in the ears of the people in Jehovah's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read that in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. So you see, it's God who wrote the Bible. In verse 8, and Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of Jehovah in Jehovah's house. It's God who penned the Bible. It's not man. We can't, you know, we don't have any faith. What do we have? But sin everywhere you look. But here God has given his elect, a true believer, the faith to trust the word of God. Because whatever God has written within the Bible, he will bring it to pass. It's no question. It's no question. I believe we're living in a day where God is just preparing, readying the world for that last day, judgment day, when he will end all things and complete his salvation for his elect. Let's go on a little bit further. You know, God's people, his elect, when they hear truth, we recognize it, because God clearly tells us that his sheep hear his voice, the true believers, and they will follow Christ, because Christ has given to us an intense love for the word of God. We can't conjure it up. God has placed it there. We are going to love. We love the word of God. There's no book we would rather read. There is nothing better we could do with our time. And we're constantly thinking about the word of God. I'm not saying every waking moment you're going to be thinking about the Bible, but that desire is there in the true believer's heart, that we want more of truth. We want to hear the word of God. We want to talk about it amongst, we see a true believer. Our conversation goes right back to the word of God, because the word of God is beautiful. It's lovely. It's what we want to hear. We enjoy it. We just rejoice to hear truth, whether we like it or not. The true believer loves the word of God. That's what we want to do with our life. And the heart that he has given to us, the new heart, will desire that. Turn over to Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. And there we read, behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Jehovah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Jehovah. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. See what God has done to his people? He has written the law of God within our heart, the word of God. You know, unsaved man, although he is in rebellion against God, to a certain degree, God's law is on his heart also. But it's completely different than the true believers. It's completely different. If you look at Romans, and a familiar passage in Romans chapter 2, I believe it is, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, he says, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. See? Unsaved man, he knows wrong from right. To a certain degree, God's law is on his heart. It's not to salvation like the true believers. Totally different. He can know. Unsaved man, can he know a lot about the Bible? Of course he can. He could talk about grace. He could talk about judgment. He could quote verses. You have people on the job where you work with, they, you know, everybody knows, fall by grace are you saved? Everybody heard of John 3:16. He knows these things. He knows wrong from right. He knows it's wrong to murder. He knows that there, you know, to a certain degree, there's a creator, although some do believe in evolution. But there are decent, moral people. They know about God. The world knows it's wrong to cheat, to kill. They know these things. God's law is on his heart to a certain degree, although he's unsaved. It's there. We're not animals. We know wrong from right. You see, so it's there. But, you know, that's why he is without excuse. It's like if you're born in the Jewish nation, you know, it doesn't make you a child of God, does it? No. Who is a true Jew? One that is truly a child of God. See, so unsaved man, to a certain degree, he knows. But for the true believers, God's elect, God has written, God has given that person a new heart, and he will love the word of God. He's going to study it. He's going to have that desire, intense desire to be obedient to God's commandments. He's going to love the word of God. Now, because now what happened at salvation, God, Holy Spirit comes and indwells that person. God himself is there in that person's heart. So they are going to love the word of God. It's our new nature to love the word of God. Look at in Jeremiah, another familiar verse, Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found and I did eat them. Do we literally eat the Bible? No. Christ says he's the bread of life. Do we actually eat him, his flesh? No. It's spiritually the word of God. Christ is the bread of life. And we eat of him spiritually as we read the Bible. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Jehovah God of hosts. See, this is God's people. We rejoice to hear truth. We come across somebody of like minds, is speaking about the word of God, we rejoice that this person is serving Christ and are following the Bible, the truths of God's word, the Bible. And God's people rejoice to hear truth. They rejoice to have God's word in their hand. And it's a great, great blessing that God has given to us. It's a privilege. It's a blessing to have God's word in our hands. Let's look at when you read through this particular the Psalms, 119. Remember, the whole psalm, you could look verse after verse after verse after verse. Is this your desire? Is that my desire about God's word? In Psalm 119, verse 38. Psalm 119, verse 38. And you could read any one of these over and over. God is repeating how the true believer loves the word of God. In verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good, which are the word of God. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And you could just look at, let's read on some more. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Jehovah, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. So there's that inherent trust in the true believer's life for the word of God. No question. We trust the Bible. Because without a doubt, the Bible is God's word. There's nothing else that we desire. It's more to be desired than gold, the Bible says. More than fine gold. There's nothing in this world that we could compare to the word of God. If you're a rich person, at the end of the day, you're dying, you leave it all behind. But salvation, when a true believer dies, he takes it with him into eternity, salvation. All they do is simply we leave this life and go into the new, into God's presence, waiting for the completion of our salvation. Doesn't get any better than that. And that's where the true believer wants to be. Verse 81 of Psalm 119. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. See, the word of God. And says, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when will thou comfort me? See, and the true believer longs to be in the presence of God and to have our salvation completed. And turn over to verse 127. It says, verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments. See, the true, God's people, he's like, love the commandments of God, which is the word of God. And says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold. About anything this world has to offer, it's above all that. And says, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And all 176 verses, God is going over this and over this, and this is how the true believers love the word of God. In Psalm 19, verse 8, thy statutes, the statutes of Jehovah are right. God's word is right. It's absolute truth. Rejoicing the heart. See, the commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. See how God tells us, God's statutes, it rejoices the heart of the true believers. God's people rejoice in the word of God. And this ought to be our delight, is the word of God. Look at Joshua. That's a few more verses and cut it short. Joshua chapter 1. Here, it was after the death of Moses. Joshua now, God's going to use Joshua, the picture of Christ, to lead the children of Israel into the land that he has promised them. And here God is encouraging Joshua, which I believe is a true believer, to keep God's word and to meditate upon God's word as God used him to lead the nation of Israel. But in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, it came to pass that Jehovah spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that this sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide and for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Jehovah thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And here God is instructing Joshua to do it God's way, to keep his mind and heart upon the word of God, not to turn to the right hand or to the left. You know, as a true believers, our eyes are steadfast upon God. No matter what's going on around us, our mind is steadfast, immovable, and we are focused on Christ, because that's where our heart is. Our heart is in heaven, and we're going to be meditating day and night upon the word of God. Let's turn to one more verse in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 to 16. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. See where the true believers trust us? We suffer reproach. Especially in our time, when we're so close to the very last day, God's people are suffering reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. A lot of times you see the phrase "these things" in the Bible. It has to do with God's word, the Bible. And command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word and in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying off in the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. What things are that we're supposed to be meditating on? The word of God. We have to be meditating on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. It's not halfway, you know. We have to give ourselves wholly to the word of God. And God's people will do that. You know, we give all. That thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. God has opened our eyes to truth. We don't back down. We can humbly continue in them. You can't convince anyone of anything. But when God has given the true believer truth, no matter what's going on around us or the situation like we're in, we will continue in them. He asks the Lord, he will strengthen us. It's not as if that we have to hang on in there and on our own. As the world says, let's hang in there. No, we don't have to do that. God keeps us. He holds us. He guides us. It's not for our own strength that we serve Christ, is it? If it was up to us, we'd all fail. So we don't have to hang in there or just hang on in there until the last day. No. I hear people say that all the time. No, God keeps us. He guides our path. Remember, I think in Psalm 49 or 50, God says he will be our guide even unto death. He guides the way of the true believers all the way to heaven. It has nothing to do with our own physical strength. Yeah, sometimes physically we get weak. Maybe we're not eating right or not resting properly, or our bodies are just getting old. You know, So, but, you know, in our spirit, the outer man perishes, the Bible say. But we're renewed spiritually, inwardly, we're you know, we're strong. We're, you know, God, Holy Spirit is in us. So we don't have to hang in there on our own. No, we look to Christ. He's our strength. He's our guide in these things. Well, I think I better stop here. I have a lot more to go, but I think I better stop. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again, that for this day, O Lord, we could look into thy word and see what you will have us to know from thy word. O Lord, we can't understand a word, a verse. We can't understand anything in the Bible. If you don't give us understanding or lead us and guide us into truth, we will never, never know anything. And, O Lord, we humbly ask thee, O Lord, that on thy timing, O Lord, that you will continue to open our understanding to truth, that you will guide our path, that you will strengthen us each day. Have us not look to each other, but look to Christ, as he is the source of strength. And, O Lord, as we wait upon thee, which God's people, God's elect, will wait upon you, all this glorifies you. And we know, O Lord, that you're working all this out exactly the way that you want to do it. And, O Lord, we know at the end of the day, all your people will be with you because you've given us so many wonderful and precious promises in that word that you will never leave us or forsake us. Even in death, that doesn't separate us from the love of God. You give us so much assurance, O Lord, in thy word that you are with us. So whether in death or we're here till you return, it's a win-win for God's people, his elect, for true believers. And, O Lord, we ask that you will give us traveling mercies on our way home, and those who are already on their way home, that you will be with them. And, O Lord, if it be thy will, could you allow us once again to meet back here again on another large day to look into thy word. Thank you for Chris and Guy and Bob and all of us who are here, and each and every one of us, O Lord, we thank you for. And, O Lord, we ask that you will be with us this coming week and have each one of us, children included, to spend time reading thy word, the Bible. Reading the Bible could never go wrong. Reading the Bible, whether we understand it or not, the Bible is the word of God. And, O Lord, we thank you, O Lord, for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.